Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Mary Kay Cabot. She's live with Ken Carmen and Anthony Ocasio-Cortez here on The Fan. Hello, Mary Kay.
Hello, guys. How you doing?
It's wonderful to speak to you. It's wonderful to hear your voice. She's from The Plain Dealer in Cleveland.com. Follow her on Twitter, at Mary Kay Cabot. Mary Kay, how good a quarterback is Baker Mayfield? That seems like such a silly question to ask. Is he right underneath that elite level? Are we making too big a deal about his level of play?
You know, he is right underneath that elite level. I believe that. I don't think he's quite there yet up with the Mahomes, you know, the Rodgers, the Bradys, and that super top tier that we all know about. But I do think that that he is kind of right underneath those guys, and I think he can get there. We have to remember, this, once again, is only his second season. He's only played five games of his second season in the Kevin Stefanski regime, and I think there have been, you know, some things that could have gone a little bit better for him, where we wouldn't maybe be talking about him in this way. Now, having said that, I do think that he needs to step it up as more of a gamer. He's got to be more clutch in the fourth quarter. He's got to be more clutch on game-winning drives. He's got to pull those things out. And if the play calls aren't exactly what he wants, then, you know, perhaps it's time for him to take matters into his own hands a little bit more at times, an audible call that he doesn't like and into something that's going to have better success. You know, I don't know how they feel about that yet in terms of letting him do that stuff, but, you know, maybe that's part of the next step.
Boy, that's interesting, Mary Kay, because so much of the dialogue surrounding that second-to-last possession was Stefanski owning the third down call, the handoff. He said he's worried about his tackles, even though Daniel Jeremiah, he was doing the game for the Chargers radio network and said the tackles held up the entire game. The Chargers couldn't get to Baker Mayfield. He was barely getting touched with the exception of that second possession of the game. So all that conversation surrounding that, we didn't really talk about Baker and his ability to audible. I mean, this is year four. It's year two in the system. Baker could have audibled, right?
Well, once again, I think it's something to be explored a little bit. I mean, how often I've seen times where, you know, even Tom Brady with the Bucs, he'll look over at Bruce Arians, at, you know, at the end of the game in the clutch and shake him off on a play and be like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do what I want to do here. And I don't think Baker's at that point yet where he can say, you know, I don't think a draw on 39 is going to work here. So let me throw it to Odell, or let me throw it to Rashard or Donovan Peoples-Jones in this situation. I don't know if they have given him that type of autonomy at this point, but maybe that's part of the next step. So I think there are things that need to be fixed on both sides. I think when you look back to the Minnesota game, I think they stuck with too many downfield balls when it wasn't working. You know, if the deep ball isn't there, and I think there's a reason why the deep ball wasn't there. I think they planned to pick on a certain cornerback that left the game early, and the guy that replaced him played really, really well. I don't know that they adjusted to that. So, you know, I think that there are some things that haven't gone Baker's way that if they had been different, we would be talking about him, just in a better way than we are now, including Jarvis Landry being out, Jed Wills being out. So I think it's going to get better this season.
And just one final thing, Mary Kay, on this, because I know we want to move on. The last possession, Dustin Fox yesterday said he watched the All-22 and said receivers were kind of loafing on their routes, and they weren't really getting open to begin with. He said maybe Odell on one. I had been critical of Baker for the dump-offs. I didn't understand how that made any sense. And then Stefanski owned that drive as well. What do you make of it now all these days out?
Well, I was surprised that, you know, that they didn't go to Odell in any of those last two drives. I didn't think that that was a great strategy. Baker usually comes back to Odell or any player. He usually comes back to a player if he has a drop, and he gets that player's confidence back up and back his head back in the game. That never really happened in this game. And in the end of the game, in the clutch, you know, I just think that look back to that Dallas game. Look what he did. He single-handedly won the Dallas game, Odell did. And, you know, he's built for these kinds of games. So I would have thought that on, you know, at least one play on those last two drives that you would have something called for Odell, whether it be a pass, a jet sweep, a reverse. And he was open on the second and nine, and Baker really wasn't all that interested in looking at him in that moment. So I thought that was a fail there at the end.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jarvis Landry, how much they miss him?
Well, I think they miss him a lot. They miss him a lot, but I don't think they should overstate it. I don't think anybody should overstate it because there are so many other good players and so many good pass catchers on this team. And if you're, you know, if everybody's playing well and if you're calling it right and you're executing, then this is a team that is built to withstand the loss of a Jarvis Landry for three games or whatever it's going to be. So I don't think that that should be used as an excuse. There are far too many other really, really good weapons on this team.
Denzel going to play on Sunday?
Yeah, I watched him in practice yesterday. He looked really good. You know, I watched him do things that, you know, that potentially would make a neck hurt. And he looked like he was getting through all of it really well. They do some really, really intense drills in the first, you know, 20 minutes or so or 30 minutes or so that we're out there watching practice. And he was able to do all of those things. And so I'm going to say yes on Denzel.
Jedrick Wills going to play on Sunday.
Ooh, that's another one to actually be a little bit concerned about. He started to do drills yesterday and then he kind of stopped. And I watched him. He took a knee and, you know, he just really couldn't do all of, like I said, it's intense in the beginning, really, really intense. They start out very fast and efficiently in their practices, and you have to be ready to go from the jump. But he had to kind of stop and, you know, sort of reassess the whole thing, and then he was very limited. He should probably sit out today. I think he'll try to give it a go, especially because Jack Conklin was nowhere to be seen yesterday. You don't want to be without both of those guys, especially if Chandler Jones comes back. You've got J.J. Watt, a really good defense. I know they're going to want him to give it a go. Hopefully for everybody, he can.
Mary Kay, was there any thought that, hey, you got two games in a short period of time. This game, technically, as much as we've talked about the pressure on the Browns, this game, technically, not a division game, not even a conference game. It's not going to decide any tiebreakers outside of your final record. Any thought at all of maybe the Denver game's more important? So maybe not rush guys back this week?
No, I don't think, no, these guys don't think
should there
way.
Be?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you have to have a strategy. You have to have an injury strategy when you've got so many guys banged up and you have two games in 4 days. So you have to plan it out so that you get as many as possible to that Denver game. And some you might want to bypass both of these games and then get super healthy after the mini bye. But I think that, you know, I think that this is a team that gets laser focused on the next game. They know that it's going to probably be a dogfight all the way to the end for the AFC North and for those playoff spots, and that they have to win every single game that they possibly can. And again, tiebreakers and all of those sorts of things, I don't think they're looking ahead to Denver at all.
Is Jamie Gillen on the hot seat?
Whoa.
Well, I mean, it's something to keep an eye on. I mean,
Mary Kay.
I wouldn't necessarily say hot seat. That's probably going a little bit too far. But, I mean, obviously, heading into the season, nobody thought the punter was going to be a problem and that the kicker wasn't going to be. So that got a little flip-flopped. And hopefully for Jamie and everybody else that he'll bring his level of play right up to Chase McLaughlin.
Is Joe Woods on the hot seat?
No, I don't think so. I think that game, had so much to do with the fact that it was just a revolving door. There were so many injuries in that game. I mean, they went in without Greg Newsome. They went in without Jadeveon Clowney. And then guys were just dropping left and right. And there was, you know, it was a very obviously fast-paced game. And there, you know, were guys just going in and out and down on the field. And so I attribute it to that. I think the arrow is pointing out for, up for this defense. And I think it will be really humming along in December.
Would they consider a trade for Odell right now?
You know, I think they would, and I think they should. I wrote a column about it yesterday, and it actually kind of pains me to write it. I woke up again this morning, like almost like feel like feeling bad about the whole thing that that it hasn't.
You can
worked
get tested
out the way-
for that, Mary Kay.
It, you know, it just I feel bad for everybody involved that it hasn't worked out the way anybody wanted it to, because I just think the world of Odell, even as, like as a person and a player. And I was all for trading for him. I thought it would have been great for the Browns, great for their fans. And it just hasn't worked out. And the reason why I wrote what I did, saying that they should try to trade him, is because I just think that Baker and Odell would probably be better off on different teams. I just think that you know, Baker seems to play a freer, more confident brand of football when he doesn't have to think about Odell out there. And Odell, for whatever reason, to this point, hasn't meshed with Baker. And it's nobody's fault. I mean, who could mesh with anybody during the crazy Freddie Kitchens season? And then he got hurt last year. So it was just kind of a star-crossed thing. And it wouldn't be easy to trade him by any stretch of the imagination. My goodness, he has such a high cap number. Who can do that? You'd have to be taking on the trade partners, you know, somebody from that trade partner's salary. I mean, you'd have to get creative. But, you know, I just have to wonder, you know, with Jarvis coming back and some of the, you know, younger guys really emerging, if it might not be better for all just to kind of say, you know, let's just move on from this so it's not a weekly distraction. It's not a, like, what's going on with Baker and Odell all year. It's not, you know, I don't know. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it, but there's a large part of me that thinks it might be better off if they would just part ways.
Do we think when it comes to the decision-making process, and let's say, you know, they're 3-3 after this week and say there just doesn't look like there's going to be a resolution in sight when it comes to the chemistry issues, Baker and Odell in this offense. Would that be something that Stefanski could go up, you know, the flagpole to the organization and say, this is what we need, or this is why this isn't working? I mean, how does that work? We always hear, hey, they're on the same page, they're on the same page, but this is it's a very delicate issue here.
Well, they collaborate on all of those things. So certainly, it would be an organization-wide situation if they decided to do anything like that. They're not going to just go trading Odell, you know, without having, you know, many, many meetings together and all putting their heads together and figuring out if it were the right thing to do. And once again, it's probably such an incredible long shot to even think about it because of the salary, because he's coming off the torn ACL, because, you know, not many teams can assume that kind of money at this point in the season. Now, the only way you would do it is if you thought that he was the final piece of the puzzle to get you to the Super Bowl. But then the Browns would have to be concerned about who they would be trading him to. You don't want to trade him to someone who you might face in the playoffs and have him be the reason why you don't get there. So there are a lot of things to consider. You know, even when you look at the Patriots trading Stephon Gilmore, you know, they kind of traded him to a place where you know, he wasn't going to knock them out in the, you know, in the playoffs. So, you know, so I think there are a lot of things to consider, but certainly, yes, Kevin Stefanski would have a say in how this would all go down.
Mary Kay, it's going to be 81 degrees in Streetsboro, Ohio today. And you know why?
Why?
Because you're bringing the heat. Thank you very much.
I bring the heat.
You do. Thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was Hellfire and Brimstone. We got Doug Deacon joining us at 9, and also Chuck in Cleveland called me out this morning. I think Chuck's right.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.